Hi everyone, welcome to Cloud Cover. My name is Chris Reisner. Today I'm joined again by Hashibai.
It is I.
And today our special guest is Guy Bowerman.
Hello.
Guy, would you like to kind of introduce yourself and tell people what you're going to talk about today?
Sure. I'm a program manager in the Azure Compute Engineering Group. And within that group, I'm in the Linux and Scale team. And I'm going to talk about virtual machine scale sets, which is currently in preview.
All right, great. And we're going to skip the news today and go right into Guy's presentation. So let's have at it.
Okay. Thanks. So you may be wondering, what are virtual machine scale sets?
Yes.
And put simply, it's a way to deploy and manage a set of identical virtual machines. So if I want 100 virtual machines, I can just say I want 100 virtual machines. I don't have to think I want to create 100 NICs and then correlate them with 100 virtual machines and create these in a loop. It's much easier than that. I can just have as many virtual machines as I want, and if I want to change that number, it's very easy, which leads to the fact that it integrates with autoscale. So if you want to have a dynamically scalable compute layer, you can. You can just integrate it with Azure Azure Autoscale, and then that can issue scale events, so I can increase the number of virtual machines, I can decrease it, or you could write your own autoscale layer. It's very easy to change that number in a balanced fashion.
So can you tell me a little bit more about how this is different from just kind of what I could do today, where I can set up a VM and then scale it?
Yeah, I think there's a couple of differences there. One, it's way easier to manage, because
sure,
you really just focus on how many VMs you want. The other is that it's highly available. If you think you're managing your own autoscale with layer with regular VMs, how do you delete a VM? Which one do you pick? Do you know whether it's balanced across update and fault domains?
Sure.
That's a kind of actually a difficult calculation you may have to make.
Complicated.
So scale sets takes care of that. You just say, I want one less VM or 10 less VMs, and it removes them in a balanced fashion.
Okay.
Plus, of course, it has the integration with autoscale is true autoscale. Previously, with ISV1, if you wanted autoscale, you'd have to pre-provision the maximum number of VMs that you wanted.
Right.
You don't have to do that with scale sets. It's, in that sense, it's true autoscale.
Okay, great.
So how the VM instances, they communicate to the autoscale? Is there an agent or something that you need to install?
That's right. I will have actually just go through a quick slide on that.
But cool.
Yeah, basically, there's a diagnostics agent, both for Windows and Linux, that you'll run in the VM. And once it's fully integrated with the portal, that will happen automatically. But that will emit data, which is then used by autoscale.
Great.
So yeah, I'll cover that in more detail. Mm-hmm. Another thing it integrates with is the load balancer. So this could be really useful. Say you're setting up a compute layer, which is, I don't know, maybe running a back-end web server, and you want to load balance incoming requests, or you want to set inbound NAT rules. I'll go through a couple of examples of this as well. But that's full integration with the load balancer is then makes it very easy to connect to these virtual machines in the way that you want to without having to do too much individuals per VM kind of setup. Another way to look at is it's an Azure Compute resource. Now in Cloud Cover 189, Hashi went all the way through, and I'm going to mention probably that a few times because that's my excuse for not having to explain all this stuff.
But, perfect. We'll just put a link to that video right beneath here.
Right. But Microsoft Compute Resource Provider, it has virtual machines, and it has at the same level virtual machine scale sets. So it's another resource that you can use with Azure Resource Manager.
Excellent.
And so when I look at kind of how to build one, this will become more important. So you could summarize that by saying if you're building hyperscale applications, this makes it very easy to have a scalable compute layer, your compute grid, which you can scale up and down, can run arbitrary tasks. It's a set of identical virtual machines that you basically don't have to go and treat them as individuals. It's that pets versus cattle analogy. These are the cattle. You could kind of manage them as a herd, although you can go delete and shut down startup individual VMs if you want to. So you could also look at it as an infrastructure for PaaS. So it's not PaaS v2. Some people are calling like upcoming Service Fabric as PaaS v2. It's a infrastructure that PaaS services like Service Fabric, like Batch, like the container service, cluster managers, orchestrators can make use of, because it just makes it easy to manage those VMs underneath.
Okay.
Yep.
And in fact, here's a rather simplified view of Azure's next generation cloud platform, where at the bottom, you've got consistency. You can run on premises, you can run in the cloud, and then you can use the same binaries for both. It's basically fully compatible, and I don't know if you've had a Cloud Cover session on Azure Stack before.
We haven't yet. We probably should.
Yeah, it's a good idea. But you can run virtual machines and VM scale sets kind of at the same level in a consistent way. And then you can run other services on top. So you can use VM extensions. You can have third-party platform as a service layers. You can have cluster orchestrators. You can have like Microsoft services like Batch and Service Fabric. And then higher level services can fit in. So it fills a gap of manageability, really, down at the VM level. So I can go through some examples of building a scale set. And I think before I actually explain how to build a scale set, maybe I'll just go deploy one, which we can then come back to.
Yeah, that'd be great.
So I'll go to the browser. This is a public repo in GitHub. And this is where we tend to put templates once we get them working. During public preview, we'll have a more formalized. We'll put them in Azure Quick Start templates.
Right.
But this is where we kind of put them once we get them working. So I'm going to go in here. And I'm just going to pick a template which will create a virtual machine scale set with a load balancer, with a public IP address, and a set of inbound NAT rules. I will actually have a diagram that explains what this does, but for now I'm just going to go and deploy it. So if I click on this Deploy to Azure button, it's actually a link to the Azure portal. So it'll take you to the portal, and then any parameters that were defined in this Azure Resource Manager template are now available for me to fill in here.
That Deploy to Azure button is actually really cool.
Oh, I love it. Yeah, I use it a lot.
So for people to try this out themselves, they need to wait for the public preview, which is really soon, right?
Yes. Now, there is a private preview going on at the time of recording, which you can join as part of Azure VM Advisors. But by the time you're watching this, it's going to be pretty close to the public preview. So you could just wait for additional announcements, or it may actually be public preview. We're looking to start that in November, basically. So here, I'll give it an imaginative name like NatPool3, and let's just say I want 5 virtual machines. I'm going to give it a unique name, which will be used when this template will create a bunch of storage accounts. In future, we will fully integrate with storage. We'll use a feature called Manage Storage, so you won't have to go and define storage accounts beforehand. It'll just be a property of the scale set. But for now, I'm going to set this, which will be a unique value for my storage accounts. And then I'm just going to put some login credentials if I want to connect to these. So that's my parameters. I'll create a new resource group for it. I'll leave the location as Southeast Asia. I will thoroughly read the legal terms.
And as everyone does.
Of course, yes. And click Purchase on Quick Reader.
He's just a very fast reader, yes.
And go create. So I've gone and deployed a scale set with a template and a Deploy to Azure button. It's actually very simple to get started. And we can switch back then, and I'll just talk a little bit about how a scale set is built up. Start with, this is kind of a bit of a recap of Haishi's session on Azure Resource Manager. How do you build a regular virtual machine? Well, if you need it to have a public IP address, you define a public IP address. And on the right, I've kind of got what you'd put in your template. You'd create a virtual network with a subnet, create a storage account. You'd create a network interface, which then depends on the IP address and the virtual network. And then you would create a virtual machine, which depends on the network interface and the storage account. That's how you build a single virtual machine. Right now, if you wanted to create 30 virtual machines, you could do it with resource loops. Oh, here's a link, by the way, to the Azure Quick Start templates where we have a whole bunch of these templates defined. Plug for Haishi's Cloud. And then if you wanted to create a bunch of these machines, you could use resource loops. So with a resource loop, it's kind of like a while or a for loop. You could create a set of NICs, for example, and then create a set of virtual machines and then correlate the two. Now, so you could do that. You could say, yes, I want this many. You could even like have a loop that creates subnets or storage accounts. You could build up an infrastructure using resource loops. The only problem is it puts a bit of a burden on the person creating this to understand the underlying infrastructure. So some of the challenges here is you need to correlate these loops that you create of independent resources. And some things you'll have more of than others, like storage accounts versus NICs, et cetera. As I mentioned, you ask, why not just have a bunch of VMs? There's no easy mechanism to scale in. You can, but you have to think about like your update domains and your fault domains.
Sure.
And again, similarly, like you're scaling up. How do you make sure you're scaling up in an even way across domains? So resource loops, they're basically a syntactical shorthand, but if you create a resource loop of 10 virtual machines, you've still got those 10 calls going down to the underlying fabric. It really is syntactical. It's very useful. In fact, some of the scale set templates will use resource loops to do things like create storage accounts. Mm-hmm. But for scale sets, you look at it basically, you start in the same way as you define a resource group and a VNet, a subnet. But then you can define your scale set. And within your scale set, you say how many virtual machines you want. You define the overall virtual machine properties. You define the network properties. You define the storage properties. And then if you're using extensions, you can define the extension properties inside the scale set. So you just define it in one place and hit deploy. And that just creates your scale set without you having to go and do all of those other things. And then you can manage it as a set.
So this scalable NIC and scalable storage, that's new resource types, or?
So they are properties within the new resource type, which is virtual machine scale
set. Oh, within the scale set, okay.
Yeah. And like I say, the storage integration is going to, right now with the network, it really is that simple. You define your NIC properties. With storage, we actually link back to the storage accounts we create, and that will change when we integrate with managed storage.
Okay.
So this is what it would look like inside your template. So here, as I mentioned, the key thing is how many instances, how many VMs do I want? So I've got highlighted in red there the capacity. And that's really, yeah, how many virtual machines? And then another thing that you would set is a prefix for the computer name. Instead of a computer name, you say, my virtual machines will start with this value. So if I call it my VM, the first one will be my VM underscore 0, my VM underscore 1, and so on. So you specify a prefix. Similarly, then, if I want to reduce the number of virtual machines, I can just send the same template again, or I could even write a much simpler template that all it does is set that capacity value, and then it will just reduce the number of virtual machines. Or I could go target an individual VM if it's perhaps not working right, or you did an update and you scaled out and you wanted to remove some of the old VMs. You've got some flexibility there.
So how do you remove a specific VM? Do you still use the scale set template, or you just directly go to the VM itself?
So
I want to delete this VM instead of any VM.
So you'd go to the individual VM. So you could do that with a REST call. You could do that with PowerShell or CLI. You could go target a specific VM.
Okay, but in that case,
and you'd be able to do it in the portal as well once that's fully integrated.
But in that case, am I in the risk of breaking something from skill set? Let's say if I really removed some of VMs that has my, let's say, primary partition on it.
That's a very good question. Mm-hmm. For one thing, you generally assume that this is a stateless layer, like all the VMs are doing kind of replaceable things. Mm-hmm. But if you have just defined at runtime a set of specific values and you don't want to lose a VM, then yeah, you could shoot yourself in the foot in that case. You know, you could go remove a set of individual VMs, and depending on what your application dependencies are, you could mess them up. Generally though, we assume that you're creating a fairly general purpose compute layer. That's why you can do things like auto scale. You can add VMs, they can perform the same functions.
Okay, makes sense.
So don't do things weird things and shut down individual VMs like Apache.
Right. I'll go through some of the basic patterns that people might use scale sets for. And this is kind of a fairly introductory level, like asking basic questions like, how do you connect to your virtual machines if you create a scale set? Mm-hmm. If you create a set of regular virtual machines, you could just assign them each a public IP address, or you could use a load balancer and do more advanced things. With a scale set, typically you wouldn't assign a public IP address to VMs in your scale set. You'd have one way to do it would be to create a load balancer and define some inbound NAT rules. So in this case, you've got a SSH client. If it comes in at port 50,000, there's a NAT rule which says go to port 22 of the first virtual machine. If it comes in at port 50,000 of this public IP address, 50,001 of this public IP address, go to port 22 of the next virtual machine, and so on. So it can go through like that. And I think what I could do at this point is switch back to the scale set that I was creating.
Actually, before you move,
sure.
Let's say now I added another instance to the scale set. I need to update the load balancer rules myself to reflect this new instance?
No, you could just, if I added instance 4, port 50,003 would then map to it. so in this particular case.
But say the load balancer is a separate Azure resource, right?
Yeah.
You just have a dependency.
You reference back to it in your scale set definition. And we can go and look at that.
Oh, OK.
So that's what I'll.
Yeah, I just want to make sure it's automatic. I don't need to manually.
No, that's good to make sure of that, because it's actually very easy to then do this correlation. Mm-hmm. And there's other ways you can use NAT rules. But this is one. It's just say, go from this client port range and map to this port on the VMs, however many there are. And if you're using a load balancer, for example, you can actually define a keep alive to check that these VMs are actually there. So mm-hmm. as you expand and contract this layer, it can automatically take care of it. So I'll go and look here. And it looks like the scale set that I created was successful. So I'll just go and look at what was it that I actually deployed. Now we've gone through some of the properties, I can just go through them in a little bit more detail. So this was this template. This was where I defined the parameters. So I've got things like the instance count and the unique name. And then I've defined a set of variables. I mentioned that I'm using resource loops. This is where I use a resource loop to create these storage accounts. And then I define a virtual network. Then I define a public IP address. And then we get to the load balancer configuration. So this load balancer configuration is just another resource type under the Microsoft.network resource provider. And here, under inbound NAT rules, this is where I actually do that correlation. Mm-hmm. I set the front end port range from 50,000 to 50,500. And I say the back end port is always going to be 22. So then if we go to the virtual machine scale set definition, here I go through the various properties. I've got the virtual machine profile. And this is where I reference these storage accounts. And it automatically creates these containers. And as I mentioned, this is going to become much simpler in a future version. So here, where we define the network profile, so we're still in the structure of the scale set definition. And mm-hmm. Here, I reference back to the load balancer address pools and the NAT pools. So that way, it's automatically correlated.
Okay. So with that load balancer definition you had up above, is that because of the beginning and the end port range, is that basically saying this scale set wouldn't really work for over 500 VMs?
In this case, it wouldn't. Although right now in preview, we have a limit of 100 virtual machines in a scale set. We expect to be increasing that next year. Okay. So I could have actually set this to 50,000 to 50,100.
Right. But really, it's a relatively minor thing to change. Yeah.
Yes. Yep.
So for the storage account, I see you have a bunch of storage account there. So the VM scale set will try to distribute the OS disk and data disk evenly across those storage accounts? Is that how?
That's right. So if I created 10 virtual machines, it would put the OS disk VHD in the first five, and then the first five again. It would basically go around distributing them between storage accounts. I don't have to create five storage accounts. I just create as many as I actually want to. But the reason that we typically create five in these example templates is that means if you create a scale set with 100 VMs, it's balanced fairly nicely with 20 VMs per storage account.
Okay. And you mentioned the managed storage account a couple of times. Actually,
yes.
That's a new concept to me. Can you just elaborate a little more what it is?
Yeah, that's a feature that you're going to be hearing more about next year. I believe it's, I'm not sure when the preview starts for that, but it's a way that I want 100 virtual machines. I don't want to create five storage accounts. I just need this much storage. It's going to be a way to make that much simpler.
So it's a mechanism to automatically fan out the storage accounts, basically.
It's a mechanism to take care of that storage account administration behind the scenes. Okay. So you just have to worry about how much storage you want.
Okay.
And you know what your storage properties should be. So that's what the template I launched looks like. If I go to the my settings, once it completed the deployment, it gives me a summary of the resource group that I created in that and then deployed the template in. So these are all the things that it created. NAT pool 3, this looks like an availability set symbol. It's a virtual machine scale set. This is what you see in the portal right now. You don't actually see much. You just see the basic details for the scale set. At least the portal recognizes the scale set. We'll be adding more details in there incrementally. So I'll show you other ways to explore the scale set that you created in a few minutes.
Okay.
But you can also look at your load balancer details. You can look at your, and there you can go see your NAT rules. If I go look at the public IP details, I can go see the public IP address that I created for the load balancer, and then I could even go copy this DNS name. And then if I wanted to go connect to it, I should just be able to put in this DNS name and set port 50,000. And then go connect to it. And this will be the first virtual machine in the scale set. So then I could put 50,001 and I could go connect to the next one. So that's really just a basic demo of how you create a scale set and then how you then connect to those VM, how you could connect to those VMs in the scale set. Obviously, you could generalize this to a whole load of other networking requirements. Mm-hmm. So that's that pattern. And let's look at some other patterns. There are other ways you could, if you wanted to connect to these virtual machines in the scale set. And another example would be to use a single virtual machine as a jump box into your scale set virtual machine. So all your scale set virtual machines have internal IP addresses inside the VNet. So if you wanted, you could create another virtual machine, assign it a public IP address, you could connect to that virtual machine, and then from there you could RDP or SSH into your other virtual machines or any other network protocol. In this particular example, I'm showing a Mesos master, and then the scale set is a bunch of Mesos slaves. That's just an example. It could just be a regular VM that connects to these virtual machines in the scale set, or any other type of cluster manager or orchestrator. So that's the basic pattern, and we have a template that actually creates a Mesos master like that inside this in the Azure Myriad repo. That's connecting. I mentioned round robin load balancing. So this is basically what it would look like. You could define a port that, again, it's in the load balancer, the addressing rules. You could define a front end port, you could define a back end port, and it will just round robin. You can also define rules like check this URL to see if these VMs are actually online. So you've got some kind of application level keep alive mm-hmm. that you could define within the load balancer to make sure that this scale set is working correctly. So we have an example of load balancing as well using IIS servers that you can go and refer to. Of course, there's a whole load of additional load balancing scenarios, which I'm not going to spend time on. But if you want to chain load balancers together, you can. So you could have an external load balancer. Then you could have a set of, you could have an internal load balancer, a set of front ends which direct traffic to that. Or you could use a traffic manager. You could have, even in different VNets, you could have a set of, or a bunch of scales that's in the same VNet or different VNets, which then you could use a traffic manager to route traffic through to the different internal load balancers through mm-hmm. public IP addresses. So you could imagine then building this up into a much larger, a much more complex hyperscale application this okay. way.
And in this scenario, you could even have each scale site being a different geography and then use that traffic manager
yeah,
route to.
That's yeah. right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep.
So for now, the skill set is single region, right? You have
it is yes, single okay. region. In fact, initially it corresponds to an availability set. You could think of it in some ways like an availability set mm-hmm. because it has availability set properties. In the future, we can span multiple availability sets, but for now you could kind of think of it in that sense.
Okay.
Autoscale. This diagram is probably a little bit more complicated than it needs to be, but you can basically if you're defining autoscale manually, you actually use an extension and you install either the Windows Azure Diagnostics or the Linux Diagnostics extension into your VM. And then the Insights service, which actually takes care of the autoscale, then collects this data. It evaluates any rules that you've set up on this data, like, oh, scale up if CPU average CPU is more than 50% for 10 minutes or... You know, you can create arbitrary rules for, and then it can then decide whether to initiate a scale action, which is either to scale up or to scale down, depending on these events. So it's very flexible. There's a lot of rules you can define. We have an example template here. At the time of recording, it's currently behind a whitelist. But hopefully within a few days, anyone will be able to use this. So go take a look. I'll make sure the readme has whether you can use it or yeah, okay. what the current status
Perfect.
Of this is. But we'll definitely be introducing more documentation. And perhaps before we wrap up, I'll include contact details if people want to ask me questions.
We'll definitely mm-hmm. ask you for that at the end.
Okay. So so far I've talked about templates, JSON templates, or how you could deploy this in the portal. Doing real production work, you'll probably want to, it's good that you can use these JSON templates. You can basically have an application lifecycle cycle. You can check in your code, but it's useful if you can script them as well. So you can script scale sets using current versions of PowerShell and CLI. I've got some examples here of how you do things like create a scale set from a template. I should probably caution that we've got a new version of Azure PowerShell coming out in the next few days. I think it's version 1, it's going to be called. And some of these commands will subtly change because they're introducing the concept of this RM for resource managers, so you can address specific resource managers. So I think the takeaway from these next few slides is you can do things like this, but not necessarily exactly as written in these slides. So again, look at the current documentation and readmes.
Right, so
this.
If you're using the 1.0 preview PowerShell that we talked about a week or so ago, you know, these commands will already be a little bit different. And then once the 1.0 is officially
It's out, I'll make sure all our documentation gets updated so it has all of this. But just I'm including a few examples of deploying a scale set, doing kind of scale up, scale down, removing a scale set, things like that. We're working on a set of imperative commands. So an upcoming version of PowerShell, if you kind of do a help and list commands, you'll see a whole lot of VMSS commands as well. So you can do things like without a template, create a scale set, get details on a scale set, do things to specific instances of scale sets. Again, the commands will look a bit like this, but not necessarily exactly like this. This is just an example. I have included a link to GitHub where we're actually working on this stuff. It's all pretty much public. So similarly with CLI, this is just the current version of CLI, how you do things like you could create a resource group, you could go deploy a scale set from a template, get scale set details back. It's very similar in terms of what it can do and what it can't do to PowerShell. And like PowerShell, we're working on a set of imperative or very specific commands of things you can do specifically with scale sets or even to individual scale set VMs. So again, these are an example. I suspect that some of the actual details will be different by the time you're using this, so I'm not going to dwell on syntax here. But you can just really, anything that you can do with your JSON template, you should be able to do with command line scripting as well. And I haven't included it in this session, but the mere fact that you have PowerShell means you have a .NET SDK, and we're working on other SDKs as well, so you'll be able to use things like Java and Go and whatever your favorite programming language is. And again, if you want details on that, you can contact me, see where we are with that. So I've created a scale set. How do I get details on it? I already showed in the portal. It shows a little bit, more coming soon, and eventually you'll be able to do everything in the portal, so you can do your auto-scale, your load balancing, create your scale set all in the portal. That may come in perhaps early 2016. It's not there yet. But there is a good method, which I think maybe, Haishi, you showed
people. Yeah, I showed this briefly.
And your cloud cover session. But I'll just go here and let's take a look at what I created with the Azure Resource Explorer. So I'll go to my browser, go to the Resource Explorer, and I'll just refresh. So if I look at this, I drill into my subscriptions, into my resource groups, and then into the in these different resource groups, I'll go look at NatPool 3, which is the one I just created. Here are the different resource providers. So we can start by looking at Microsoft.compute. Under here, I don't have any virtual machines, but they would appear here as well. But I have virtual machine scale set resource type. So within here, I can then go and explore it, and I can see individual virtual machines that were created. So this is quite a useful way of just going and exploring the resources you've created. You can even perform actions on these, or you can even just go click on the PowerShell button to get example scripting of some of these resources. What I'm hoping is that we'll have a CLI tab there.
Definitely.
Soon. That will be very useful as well. If, for example, I go explore my the network in this resource group, I can see here are the load balancers that I created, and I could go see these NAT rules inside the load balancer. Or alternatively, I could, am I still on the PowerShell tab? Sorry. So I could go and take a look here. Pretty much everything that I've configured is available. And then Or similarly, I could go get my public IP address details from here as well. So I tend to use this and rely on the Resource Explorer a lot for just going and working with the resources that I've created. And with that, I think that was the last slide I had specifically to go through on scale sets. Well, that's nice.
So if you're already using virtual machines, you don't have to make really any modification to a virtual machine image. You just use that with a scale set, right?
That's right.
Outside of the need to have that agent installed, there's really no code changes you'd necessarily have to make.
You mean if you're defining your scale set versus defining a virtual machine?
Right.
Yeah, that's actually a good question. Nearly everything is the same. As I mentioned, there are a few subtle differences, like you have a prefix for the virtual machine name.
Right.
There are a few little differences like that. We've written a getting started guide that kind of takes you through all of those differences.
Okay.
So that will be published in the Azure documentation for public preview.
Okay, and we'll make sure once we get that, we'll link that below the video as well.
Yeah.
And also you mentioned availability set. So going forward, do we don't need availability set anymore? Because the skill set honors the update domain, fault domain as well, right?
So you still may need an availability set if you're working with individual virtual machines.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you may well have uses to put these in availability set. So even if they're using virtual machines which have different functions, it can still be useful to have them in an availability set. For scale sets, you don't have to worry about availability sets. That much is true.
Okay. And do we have like a SRA on the virtual machines? I mean, for availability sets, right? If you have two or more virtual machines in the same set, we have SRA guarantee. Do we have like similar things?
Yeah, we do. So.
Okay.
Because virtual machine scale sets just builds upon the compute provider, we get everything that the compute resource provider provides for free. So any of the SLAs like you have around availability sets will also apply to virtual machine scale sets.
I see. And in terms of pricing, I guess I'm just paying for the virtual machine I'm consuming. Are there actual charges for the?
That's right. We haven't introduced any additional charges. So if you create 100 virtual machines in your scale set, you'd be paying what you pay for 100 virtual isolated virtual machines.
I see.
So yeah, there's no new pricing or nothing's changed there.
That's great.
Cool.
And you can actually see in the resource type, if you look at your bill, you can see which were the virtual machines. So you can kind of get some understanding of what you're paying for.
So where can people go if they have more questions?
So you're welcome to contact me on Twitter. Can I do that thing?
You
like,
can, yes.
Yep. And you can feel free to ask me any questions.
What is your Twitter handle?
Oh, at G Bauerman.
All right, perfect. We'll get that in there.
I thought we'd just post-production that would all get taken care of without me having to send it. And as you saw in these slides, there are a few references to repos and GitHub. Usually we have readmes in there which have a lot of additional information, and we'll be having Azure blog posts, and we'll be putting this into the general REST documentation for the compute provider. So before long, you'll see this just as part of the mainstream documentation as well.
Okay, and I know some of those links to the GitHub repositories where some of the templates were in your repo, will those move into the official Azure organization at some point?
That's right. We're going to merge those back into Azure Quick Start templates.
Okay.
So right now, we're not doing that because while it's in private preview, we don't want people to try these and then find it doesn't work
right.
Because their accounts haven't been whitelisted. But once it's in public preview, we'll merge them back. So yeah, anyone can go deploy these.
Great. Awesome. Well, thanks for coming and showing us ScaleSet.
All right. Thank you.
Absolutely. And everybody out there, thanks for watching. Be sure to follow us at Cloud Cover Show, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you.